All right. As Connie said, I have no disclosures to make. And our objectives for this morning are to identify, and these are very measurable for APHA purposes, but to identify a few specific attitudinal barriers to practice change among maternity nurses, and to be able to name a few evidence-based approaches for overcoming attitudinal barriers to practice change among those same maternity nurses. So in order to do that together today, I'll give you a little bit of background about breastfeeding-friendly healthcare and the breastfeeding-friendly study that I'm a part of. I'll tell you about the methods we use to assess those barriers, and then our results and our, accordingly, our evidence-based recommendations. Okay, so first I think I want to just establish the foundation that we used in really going forward and designing our work with healthcare professionals, and that is using the theory of reasoned action, where if I were to break this down very simply, I would say that one's attitude influences one's intention, and one's intention is known to influence their behavior. So very basic, but that fundamental principle really drove the work that we did, which you'll hear all about. So for example, if we were to make this more specific, the attitudes breastfeeding support is a priority, breastfeeding support is positive, and the information and support I provide regarding breastfeeding makes a difference to my patients would lead to the intention that I will support breastfeeding dyads and to the practice and the behaviors of I do not offer supplementation without indication, I educate mothers about risks of formula feeding upon maternal request, to support her informed decision-making. So you all have seen, how many of you have seen these 10 steps 10 times already today? Exactly. So I'd just like to flash those up there in case there are any of you who, as Connie said, did choose to come and learn something new this morning, and know that these 10 steps constitute an evidence-based framework referred to as the Baby-Friendly Hospital Initiative. That is also the framework for our work with healthcare providers. We know that mother-baby dyads who are exposed to all of these 10 steps in hospitals are significantly more likely to continue exclusively breastfeeding through 3 and 6 months, as you can see here. And a more recent study showed us that steps in addition to 3 increase mother's achievement of her breastfeeding intention. So for every 2 steps beyond 3, mom is more likely to achieve her breastfeeding goals. Another fundamental principle that we really took into consideration in designing our intervention and developing our study was that providers make a difference. And a lot of people will argue, well, what happens in those first few days in the hospital really doesn't matter for anything besides initiation. But we know from all of our piles of research that it makes a huge difference for initiation, duration, and exclusivity. But in order to really work with nurses, we needed to understand a whole lot more about how that happened. So we looked into the research base, and what we found is that women value and trust their providers' opinions and judgments about not just their healthcare, but their families. Sometimes well-meaning providers may not realize that their remarks undermine mothers' confidence. And mothers who report that their providers encourage them with breastfeeding are less likely to cease breastfeeding by 12 weeks. There are studies upon studies upon studies about how important active encouragement for breastfeeding is from the healthcare professionals. And actually that when mothers perceive a neutral attitude, they are less likely to succeed with their breastfeeding intentions than if they were actually actively encouraged. So I've documented a lot of this here. You can see Tavares, Liu, DiGirolamo have all done some incredible studies in that regard. And you can see there what I'm talking about with the breastfeeding at 6 weeks, where 70% of the moms who thought their physician favored breastfeeding were still breastfeeding at 6 weeks. And look at that, 90% of mothers who thought their physicians favored formula were still breastfeeding at the same time. That's pretty scary. So, with all of this background information, we received funding, applied for and received funding from 2 North Carolina-based foundations to improve the quality of breastfeeding support for moms and babies in a subset of our state's hospitals. Essentially, in 4 years' time, we are committed to establishing at least one self-sustaining, what we call best practices site in each perinatal care region by supporting increased implementation of the 10 steps. We anticipated that rates of breastfeeding initiation would rise by at least 5 to 10% in each setting, and exclusive breastfeeding rates would increase by at least 5%, with at least 80 to 90% of the new mother-baby pairs being impacted at each site. I can tell you at year 3 that we are well beyond this, especially in our sites where the hospitals had lower breastfeeding rates, and our hospital that had the lowest breastfeeding rate at start, we just found last Thursday, increased their exclusive breastfeeding rate by 210% in the last year. So we're really proud of the work that we're doing with these hospitals and that the hospitals are achieving. In the first year, we implemented what we call a standard approach at 3 hospitals. And then that informed a repackaging of the 10 steps into a North Carolina-specific breastfeeding approach. We proceeded with implementation support in 10 additional hospitals using this iterative approach, so very quality improvement-oriented. And by the end of our 4 years, which will be in June of 2012, I can't believe it's gone by this fast, best practices and how-to guidance will be made very widely available. We hope that this guidance, coupled with the presence of at least one best practice site in each of our perinatal care regions, our state's divided into 6, will enable 80%+ of hospitals in North Carolina to make successful quality improvements to their breastfeeding support programs. A lot of people, when I started saying this 210% number, say, well, what the heck do you do? And a lot of what is so important is simply the evaluation and asking them to increase their awareness of what they're doing by looking at their numbers and then collecting some additional numbers on their behalf and presenting those back to them. We also do a lot of staff and especially upper level administration sensitization, training with physicians, nurses, LCs, unit secretaries, you name it. We provide a lot of technical assistance and basically say, you tell us what you need to happen in your unit and we'll help you in testing to see if that makes the improvements. We do process evaluation, progress assessment, social marketing and mainstreaming, and part of what we learned from the first round was that demand creation in the community was really important. So we'll talk a bit more about that. So you'll hear me refer to Breastfeeding Friendly Healthcare, first of all, as BFHC, and it's a translational research study, which basically is a way of conducting scientific research to make the results of our research directly applicable to the population under study. In the Breastfeeding Friendly Healthcare Project, we use this translational design so that we can study what makes the biggest difference in increasing implementation of and adherence to the 10 steps, and then directly apply our findings as efficiently as possible into hospital practices, and thus significantly increase breastfeeding support and breastfeeding rates as we're doing this study. We use a standard operations research method for quasi-experimental designs, where our analysis is based on the individual responses within the hospital, then compared to other hospitals in their same phase of the study, and then beyond into all of the hospitals in the study. Previous studies on implementation of the 10 steps largely explore the process and experience of single hospitals. So we feel that using a multiple case study approach allows us for greater comparison of the implementation process itself across a variety of settings. So I hope you'll agree that that's useful for you. For today's presentation, I will be showing analysis of our 6 primary research hospital evaluation. And the reason for that is we started with 6, one for each hospital, one for each perinatal care region in our state, and then we had several hospitals come clamoring at our door saying, please, 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 let us in, we want to be part. So we don't have those other hospitals at baseline, but rather for years 2, 3, 4. All of these 6 hospitals serve at least 60% low-wealth clients as defined by Medicaid eligibility criteria, excluding immigration status, and vary in maternity care center staff size, including nurses, physicians, administrators, and others, ranging from between 50 to 400 employees in the maternity centers. So we really do have an incredible diverse sample that I think is helpful, especially thinking about this multiple case study approach. We're not just looking at teaching hospitals or just small rural hospitals, but rather a diverse set. I'll introduce you to the Carolina BCAP, which is the Carolina Breastfeeding Knowledge Attitudes and Practice Survey, our method for using key informant interviews, patient chart reviews. We also use the Baby Friendly USA self-appraisal tool and the CDC MPINC, and member checking, where we basically go back to the leaders of the facilities and say, this is what we're seeing, this is what we heard you tell us, does this reflect an accurate picture? Any questions so far? Great. The BCAP was developed to measure healthcare providers' knowledge, attitudes, and practices related to breastfeeding support. Questions were selected to reflect each of the 10 steps as described in the WHO UNICEF Global Criteria, which you can find at the UNICEF website. Questions were taken from widely used instruments for assessing clinicians' attitudes and about breastfeeding, assessing knowledge on breastfeeding support, and measuring the provision of breastfeeding support. We piloted the Carolina BCAP on staff members at a local birth center, mostly to assess question clarity and face validity. The instrument was modified very slightly based on those pilot test findings. The final version had 25 questions, and two cross-sectional surveys were conducted of maternity staff and providers to assess knowledge, attitudes, and practices at baseline, and then second round assessments. They're currently in third, and that's where we're starting to see some of those great numbers that I just told you about. The site coordinators at each hospital were asked to email or provide paper copies of the BCAP to all maternity clinical staff members. We also had a separate, shorter one for non-clinical staff members, which was very important, but not as interesting in this group, I don't think. And psychometric analysis of the Carolina BCAP using data from baseline assessment was completed in order to assess the instrument's construct validity. An exploratory factor analysis suggested the instrument possessed strong to marginal construct validity, and the analysis suggested that the instrument measured four constructs: knowledge about breastfeeding support with a convex alpha of 0.65, attitudes towards breastfeeding support of 0.68, counseling practices for breastfeeding support of 0.78, so that one was really strong, and clinical practices for breastfeeding support. We were able to then identify the attitudes about breastfeeding and breastfeeding support and determine whether they were likely to act as barriers to providing quality care by seeking correlations between the constructs, knowing then that they had their own internal validity, and then further exploring those concepts in the key informant interviews and on-site assessments. I would like to clarify that 77% of respondents to the Carolina BCAP were nurses, and 97% were female. So that is, the gender is not very highly representative of the hospital sites. We know that more women were overrepresented in completion of the survey. The nursing staff was adequately represented, and physicians as well. We also used a semi-structured key informant interview guide using main questions, follow-up questions, and probes. The guide included questions about current practices and attitudes related to each of the 10 steps and was therefore very closely linked to the Carolina BCAP. All of our staff affiliated with the project reviewed the guide for face validity, and then again, it was pilot tested on a small sample of healthcare professionals, mostly to just assess question clarity. The site coordinators were then asked to select respondents that were responsible for implementing the practices described in the 10 steps that represented a variety of positions, shifts, and attitudes towards breastfeeding support, which of course they didn't share with us in advance. And interviews were conducted until content and thematic saturation were achieved within each site. It was a total of 53 interviews, 25 during baseline assessment and 28 at second assessment. And the interviews ranged between 30 and 90 minutes apiece. Some people had a little to say, some people had a whole lot to say. How'd that go fast? Okay, great. So, the interesting part. I think the research design is really interesting, but the results I know are what you're all so eager to hear all about. The first thing that we found is that almost all respondents indicated a high level of awareness that breastfeeding is best, or breast is best. Most are well aware that this is an evidence-based conclusion having something to do with diabetes and immune factor development. The statements to this effect were largely rote, largely theoretical, and often conflicted with prevalent attitudes, beliefs, knowledge, and practices regarding breastfeeding and breastfeeding support, which further confirmed the concept that, of course, there's really significant social desirability bias in this type of work, and made us feel really happy that we were using these mixed methods to be able to, you know, look at what they put down and what they know is best, which is important, but then really how much they believed in that and how much commitment they had to those best practices. So I think these images are just fun because it's like, look here, we know it's written in this evidence, and then look, this is what we're actually doing. So the most prominent attitude, and this is probably what you would all expect, right, is that it's too time-consuming to provide breastfeeding support. That, you know, these moms, they it comes time to feed, and they want us to spend 45 minutes in there, and, you know, how am I supposed to do this? I've got four other couplets to take care of, or, you know, worse, I have five other babies to take care of, and I'm not the mother's nurse, and so it's the mother's nurse's job, right? But the idea that it's just too time-consuming. And how we have responded to this and found it most effective is really to teach prevention and promotion of the normal physiology. That if we are working together in our healthcare providers' teams to... Thank you. If we're working together in our teams to make sure that the physiology remains normal from the very beginning of the process, including preconceptionally, prenatally, and giving birth, then we know that they're much less likely to encounter problems with their breastfeeding and are going to take a lot less time and energy to provide that support. We also promote patient-centeredness in our understanding that this is about what the patients want and need, and meeting their needs are at the foundation of the purpose of our work. We also suggested here that they use very small tests of change to convince themselves that breastfeeding support didn't need to take so much time. And that really seemed to make a big difference. There were some places where those small tests of change that are often used in quality improvement didn't make as huge of a difference. But there, they were able to see, oh, getting that mom and baby skin to skin really didn't take me 25, 30 minutes as I was expecting. The next attitude was that mother's sleep is often a priority over exclusive breastfeeding. And therefore, babies should just be brought back to the nursery so that mom can be allowed to rest. And maybe baby gets brought back oftentimes after cues, but more likely we'll just give a bottle and let mom rest, especially the multips. This is really prevalent for them. And we really emphasize the evidence regarding improved quality and quantity of sleep and rooming in, and found that that was evidence that is not getting out to healthcare professionals at all. They were all very surprised to find that mother's rest and infant's rest was improved in quality and quantity. And again, emphasize that patient-centeredness, that rooming in is what moms want and what moms need in order to go home prepared to be able to take care of their infants on their own, and that actually is a really important teachable moment in the hospital. Another attitude is that mothers want or need infant formula advertising goods. I don't think this one needs a ton of explanation. I will say that all of the hospitals now are bag-free in our project, and all of them were very resistant to that at the very beginning of the project. We just kept trying to tell them, really, the moms are not going to riot on you, we promise. And then it was telling the administrators, we promise your nurses are not going to riot on you. And it turned out that it really was much more the nurses' attitudinal barrier than it was the moms. They never heard a peep out of the moms. And once the nurses knew that the mothers wouldn't be upset with them, then they were happy to. And now they all refer to their departure gift as mom's little bundle of joy and not Enfamil's breastfeeding bag. Another attitude that we saw is that breastfeeding is simply a low priority in light of the overwhelming workload. And that was really where we encouraged the administrators to take a hard line and say, you know, whose priorities are we considering here? And patient-centeredness is a huge national trend. It's something that's very important in the patient satisfaction surveys in North Carolina. But we really felt like the patient-centeredness was essential there, that this is what mothers want, this is what's going to make the difference in the health of this child over the long term, and therefore we just got to get over that attitude. And that hardline approach, you know, you can pick and choose where you take it, and that worked well. Just about through, honey. Another attitude is that supporting breastfeeding is a slippery slope towards pressuring and guilting mothers. And this is really important, so listen carefully. Ask your hospitals to look at their intention data. So when a mom comes in and they ask her, how do you plan to feed your baby, or do you plan to breastfeed? Look at that number, and then compare that number to the exclusive breastfeeding rate upon departure. And if there's a gap, you know that somewhere you have failed the mothers in your care. That concept alone switched those attitudes around in seconds. It took us 2 years, I think, to get them to collect that data. My project director is here, Miriam LeBach, so I keep looking to her. But that simple comparison was fundamental. Latinas do los dos, and that's just the way it is. We taught all of our nurses hand expression. And when we came in with hand expression, they all thought it was so disgusting, and why are you doing this? We found nurse champions who would teach one-on-one, go around to the nursing pods and do actual competency verifications with the nurses using a breast model, showing them how to do it. And once they weren't so scared that they wouldn't know how to hand express, then suddenly they all started doing it with their patients. And they would come like shrieking out of the hospital room, I did it, I got her to hand express and she has milk and she was so happy, she's so proud of herself, she's gonna breastfeed. And it was this, you know, total revolution simply by teaching hand expression. We know from the research that hand expression improves maternal self-efficacy. And from this research study, we've seen that teaching hand expression improves nurses' self-efficacy. I'm going to wrap up. Physicians resist change and fear increased liability. So it's really important that we emphasize the safety in these practices. And in fact, you know, make the case that mothers are biologically programmed to protect their children. Keeping mothers together with their babies is the safest practice. We already talked about that one. And the last one that was really prevalent was that, well, it's the IBCLC's job, it's not our job. And what we found there that was really key was, again, getting back, exactly, it's funny, right? Exactly. If we all thought it was somebody else's job, what would we do? What we found there is that if we promoted the idea of normal physiology and gave the training that the nurses needed to provide breastfeeding support for the normal mother-baby dyad and explained that the IBCLCs are really there as the specialists when there's a problem, then there was just a lot greater understanding of whose role and responsibility it was. In addition, we also implemented some care algorithms for at what point you referred to an LC, and that gave some structure and support. I've given our recommendations throughout, and I would just say never disregard or try to push past attitudinal barriers. In all of our trainings, we spent a significant amount of time just talking through those barriers, and that made a big difference, not just trying to get straight to the facts. Oftentimes they know the facts, they can read the facts. If you can address the attitudes first, they'll get the information that they need. You've got to train everybody, the nurses, the doctors, all of them, to establish a baseline so that moms aren't hearing different things. It's best if you can get moms to come in asking for good care rather than asking for bad care and having to fight with the nurses about it. Clarify the roles and responsibilities, and maximize the provider-centeredness in designing the systems and staff sensitization. Think about the WIFM always. What's in it for me? And be prepared to tell the nurses exactly what that is for them. And emphasize the ways that breastfeeding support leads to time and effort savings. And those are all of our site coordinators saying thank you.